The way to do it is through learning in Yanei Geula Mashiach, and we want to take that seriously and really delve in deeply into the Mashiach subject. Just hold on 1 second. I just want to make sure. Took it upon ourselves to go through Tanakh, starting with the Chumash, and we hopefully are going to do most of the Tanakh, not just most, but almost 99.9 of it after Mashiach comes. We don't want to wait till we finish Tanakh to have Mashiach. We want Mashiach now. But we're starting. At least sometimes it should be considered, just by starting, it should be considered as if we completed it. But we began from Sefer Bereishis, and we're looking for the origins of Mashiach in the Torah. And initially, my plan was to go briefly through a little bit of the Chumash and then get into the Gemara, Rambam, and all of that about Mashiach. But what I found when I began exploring the subject is that I found that it's really, really, really a whole new world. There's a whole... you can study all of Chumash from the lens of Geula, the lens of Mashiach, and then you see that every part of the Torah is really all speaking about Yemos HaMashiach. You just have to find it. You have to look for it, because the real world is the Mashiach world that is Haba Aleinu L'Tayva, that is coming upon us very, very quickly. So it might take longer than I thought to go through the Chumash. We're learning over here in Sefer Bereishis, in Parshas Bereishis. We began with Hashem's vision of Mashiach's world, the perfect world, how Hashem envisioned Mashiach already before he created the world. We went through the 6 days of creation. We spoke about the creation of Adam Arishon as the creation of Mashiach's neshama. We spoke about the entrance of Shabbos as Yom Shekulei Shabbos, the idea how the 6 days are all leading up to a Shabbos, which is the Mashiach Degel world. Actually, Mashiach's world, we spoke, is the Friday world, preceding Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. Last week, we discussed the formation of the human being's body, in which Hashem already programmed the body to live two times, the body as it is now and the body of Tchias HaMesim. And we were in the midst of the discussion of Hashem's bringing Adam Arishon into Gan Eden. As we mentioned in the earlier classes, that Hashem, initially when he created the world was in a perfect state. And then there was a breakage through the sin of the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. Everything became unraveled and things fell apart. And when Mashiach comes, we're going to have a perfect world again. We spoke about the word Toldos. Toldos is mentioned, Ela Toldos HaShemayim Va'aretz, these are the chronicles of heaven and earth, Bihi Baram, when they were created. The created reality, the created world, was the Mashiach world, was a perfect world. That's the only time that Toldos is mentioned, Malay, it's mentioned with two Vavs, and as we spoke in the earlier class, the Vav represents two things. Spiritually, the Vav represents the divine presence within the world, as hinted to in the letter Vav, Hashem descending into the world in order to imbue the world with him, with himself. That's the idea of Nesava Kodesh Baruch Hu Lius Lo Yizbarach Dira B'tachtainim, which, as the Alter Rebbe tells us, is the whole purpose of creation. And as the Shlach HaKadosh explained, that in Toldos Vav, the Vav being Malei, that's an expression of the Eibishter being Shaira, Hashem dwelling in the lowest rung of existence, fully manifest. The world is imbued with its soul, which is God himself. And as we know from the Mamaram of Basi Legani, that Iker Shechina B'tachtoinim Hoysa, the main Shechina was here. But then the Vav departed. And as the Vav departed, it manifested in the external element of creation that everything in the world became extremely dull. And as we said, it's the Vav, as the Medrash explains, six things that were removed that the world doesn't possess now, six things that the world is lacking. And those were the shine, the human face, the height of the human being, the eternal life, that the human being lost his life. Today we only have a battery kind of a life. We don't have real life like we had when we were plugged in to the outlet, when we were plugged into the source of life, into Hashem. We were chased out of Gan Eden. The fruits lost their taste. And finally, light has been diminished. The sun and the moon are not giving off the light as they should. When Mashiach comes, all these things are going to be restored to their pristine greatness. Now, why did Hashem create the world in that perfect state? Ultimately, Hashem's plan was that man should work and to build the world up to that great Mashiach Digger world. Because I forgot to mention that after the world was broken, the next time that it is mentioned again, Toldos, with the Vav, with the two Vavs, Toldos being full, is when it says, Eildo Toldos Peretz. Peretz is the grandfather of Mashiach. Because it is the offspring of Peretz that is going to bring back the Vav, fill the world with godliness, and as a result of that, the world is going to get back its charm. The world is going to get back its soul. And the human face is going to radiate. We're suddenly going to expand and retain our height, which of course we understand that it's not only that we're tall, but physically we're so high, so tall is because spiritually we have suddenly, grew up and matured. And the same is also, that the sun and the moon will come back to their taste, to their full light. Food, the taste of food will be back to its, to the world. The fruits will have their full power and their full potent and the deliciousness of the fruits that they initially were. And the world will be back alive again. But why did Hashem initially create it that way? And, it's one thing that Hashem had the plan, he had the thought, he had the vision. And I think the idea is because since Adam HaRishon was the man who was charged with the mission to perfect the world, the human being had to have the vision. He had to be able to see the end result, as Hashem would demonstrate it. Like when Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the Mishkan, Hashem had to first give him a vision of what the Mishkan looked like. Kolash HaTamara Bahar, and then Moshe Rabbeinu was given the task, and the Jewish people with Bezalel, to work on constructing the Mishkan, that it should match up to that vision, that which they saw. Also by Har Sinai, we were taught that the world was in a messianic state, in a perfect state, a world that was filled with godly light, as we can see Hashem everywhere at Har Sinai. And the Alter Rebbe said that was only for a moment, that it lasted only for a short while, then they lost it, because it wasn't meant, and the explanation why they lost it was because we didn't create it. It was given to us from above, and that wasn't Hashem's plan. So why did He show it to us? Why did we have to experience it by Har Sinai? Because you can't, if we wouldn't have a demo, we wouldn't have anything to be able to measure up to, we wouldn't understand what is the perfect world that we need to have. So that is why also we can say that at the beginning of creation, Hashem created the world in a perfect state. He also brought Adam HaRishon into Gan Eden. In which life was at its perfected state. So Adam can experience it at least for a short period of time. And then he knows, and it's even though it was Adam, but we are all the collective soul of Adam HaRishon. So deep inside, buried inside the collective consciousness of the human being, especially of the Jewish neshamas, the Yiddish neshamas, we know that the world is lacking. And that's why there is this deep aching pain at the core of every person, because as a matter how good life is, even if there is, a person is Baruch Hashem, doing well with Parnasa, having nachas from the children, halavai, we should all be able to say that, but everybody's got their tzaras. But even if not, even if we have a perfect world, there's still a deep discomfort because we know that this is not the way it's still, because deep in our minds, we remember what it was in Gan Eden and remember how perfect this was. So last week, we mentioned from the Rebbeinu Bachaya, we mentioned this idea that Adam HaRishon comes into Gan Eden, and I want to review a little bit what he says. And he says that Adam HaRishon came, Hashem planted all kinds of delicious fruits, trees, and the Eibishter created it to be a delightful experience. Hashem wanted the human being to delight in Hashem's light and Hashem's pleasure and the pleasure of godliness. His parnasa, his sustenance, we learned last week, was from the trees of the Gan Eden. He would drink from the rivers, from the blessed rivers of the Gan. V'nohar yoytze me'Eden. Can you imagine what that river was? The crisp crystal waters coming directly out of Eden. And he didn't have any clothing, but his clothing were the Anani Akavit. He was garbed, his shield, his protection, were the clouds of glory that were surrounding Adam HaRishon when he was in Gan Eden. And the words of Rabbeinu Bachaya, V'hoysam idasei sham b'tayinu grav gadol, he was in an incredible state of bliss and ecstasy. V'atzum l'roi, very, very, very intense pleasure. But he says, b'tayinu ganefesh, it was a soul pleasure, u'ma'at b'tayinu gaguf. The physical pleasure was included in the soul pleasure. Because he had a neshama and a guf, a soul and a body, so the pleasure saturated not only his soul, it was a physical delight, but the body was so submerged in the neshama, so bottled to the neshama, like it's supposed to be. It's a keli, and it is an expressor of the soul. So the body was fully integrated into the neshama, and therefore primarily 90% was the spiritual experience, and included in that, in a very subtle way, was the physical enjoyment and the pleasure and the calmness and the tranquility that was not that is incomparable to anything else. And he says, "Nafshoi v'gufay hem achas," soul and body were completely merged together, "b'hasagas boirei belvad," with one thing, grasping the infinite. Understanding, deepening his understanding in his Creator. That's why he says Hashem prevented him from eating from the Eitz Hadas, because the Eitz Hadas would begin to separate, to create a schism and a separation between soul and body. It would coarsen the body, and it would make the body self-conscious. And when the body becomes self-conscious, it becomes disconnected from the soul, and it becomes a metzias, it becomes an entity. As we know that the first thing that had to happen to Adam HaRishon was he became conscious of himself, and that's why they became uncomfortable with their being unclothed and the like, and the body started demanding and saying, I am, I want, I need, give me this, give me that, give me that, and that brought all kinds of problems, jealousy, hatred, the war, strife, and everything comes from the egocentric state of the human being, attached to the resulting from the chaymer, the body, the physical, being separated and not being bottled to the nefesh, to the soul. And Hashem wanted to keep him away from that and told him not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, but he did eat from the Eitz Hadas, which we know ultimately was also part of the plan, so that man can reach, so it shouldn't be a gift from above, but that the human being is able to reach this perfected state as a result of our toil and our efforts. Then he concludes and he finishes, and this is the point in regards to Mashiach. He says, "V'yeshlach ladas," you ought to know, "kilashir tainuga adam began," to the same pleasure, to the same amount of delight of adam arishin and began, "asa da oilam sheyachzer l'tchias ha-mesim." By the time of the resurrection, the world is going to return again by the time of tchias ha-mesim, of the resurrection of the dead. "Ki b'nei tchias ha-mesim," because those who are going to live in the resurrection period in the time of tchias ha-mesim are going to have yisangu ka'achas ha'gufa nefesh. Their soul and their body are going to be in a delightful state, unified together. And v'yiya ha'roiv b'taynu ga'nefesh. And most of it is going to be the delight of their soul. And the same idea, and the body is going to be completely bottled to the nefesh. It's just like Adam HaRishon Kaidam Achet. That's what his word, before Adam HaRishon, before the sin. And therefore, what's going to come out of it is that the human being, l'chein is chayev, then the outcome, this obligates, it's going to be a very long life, or eternal life. There's no, because when the body doesn't have any more its disconnect, so then the body is totally one with the neshama. And just like the neshama is nitzchi, exists forever and eternal, so too the body is also in that eternal state. And the world is going to return to its perfection. So that was the reason of Hashem taking Adam HaRishon into Gan Eden, to give him a sneak preview of the upcoming world that Be'ezras Hashem we are going to see in our days very, very soon. Now, the Rebbeinu Bachaya, this he says interesting. This is all al derech ha-pshat. This is the simple pshat. Then he explains it all on a level more al pi mashal. He uses this. He says al derech ha-seichel, more into the on a more intellectual form of explaining this whole thing, and a little bit more remez dig. He again describes the story of Adam HaRishon coming into Gan Eden as the saga of the human being, it's really the description of the human being's journey, how the human being is created in a perfect state, and how the human being falls from his very, very elated and elevated state, falls down, and that the human being has to collect himself and come back together again to his pristine state that his Creator created him. And it's a really fascinating idea in which he discusses the whole story of Hashem with Adam HaRishon and Gan Eden. When Hashem brings Adam HaRishon and Gan Eden, let's just review a little bit of what the Torah says in Parshas Bereishis. Hashem brings Adam into, before that, at this point, we don't even have Chava there yet. Hashem brings Adam into the Gan Eden. He commands him, he can eat from the trees, Mekol Eitz, from all the trees you can eat, from here you can't eat. And then it says that Hashem looks at Adam HaRishon and says, Loi toi ve'yoysa Adam levadoi. It is not good for man to be alone. Asaloi Ezer Kenegdo, let me create for him a Ezer, an assistant to help him out. And Hashem goes and puts him to sleep in Gan Eden. He separates his rib and he Vayivenas Atzela, and he builds up the rib and he created Chava. And he brings Chava to Adam. And then it describes how Adam HaRishon called names to all the animals. And the Torah concludes that both Adam and Chava were unclothed. After that, it discusses how the snake creeps up to Chava, begins a dialogue with Chava. He pursues, he seduces Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Then Chava goes and gives it to Adam. And then Hashem comes into the Gan, and he says to Adam, Rishon HaYaka, where are you? Because Adam is hiding. And Hashem asks Adam what happened. Adam blames Chava. Chava blames the snake. And then Hashem goes and pronounces the curses, first to the snake, then to Chava, and then to Adam. And then it concludes the story of Gan Eden, is that Hashem makes clothing, like even that Hashem goes and he makes a kasnas oyer, a shirt made out of a leather shirt. He gave him a leather jacket. You ever thought about that? That other Marishan wore a leather jacket. But this is what he gives them, a kasnas oyer, and he dresses them up, and he sends them out of Gan Eden. That's a story. So really, this is the entire story of humanity, from the beginning to the end. Initially, Hashem takes Adam. Who is Adam? From this perspective, as Rabbeinu Bechaya puts it, Adam is the neshama, is the nefesh. He calls it not nefesh, he calls it the seichel. He calls it the intellect. And over here, Adam so far is a naked intellect, which means he's pure intellect. There's no body, there's no choymer, there's no tzur, there's only a nefesh, there's only the spirit of the human being. And Hashem takes Adam Arishon and he puts him into the Gan Eden, into the garden. Again, because we said earlier, this is before Chava is created. Hashem brings the intellect into the Gan Eden. What's Gan Eden? Gan Eden is the Torah. Why is the Torah Gan Eden? Because the Torah, Eden is Chachma. In Chassidus, we always learn that Eden is Chachma. Interesting, Rabbeinu Bechaya was a big Makubal, and he too brings that Eden is Chachma. And so Gan Eden is the garden that is watered by the waters of Eden, which means the Torah is filled with God's wisdom. There's a flow, there's a river, there's a flow, which in Chassidus we know is the Bina, that is flowing from Chachma, it's flowing from the Eden, and it's flowing into the Gan. Now the Gan is 53, Nun Gimel. It's referring to the 53 Parshiyos in the Torah. So when Hashem takes Adam, he's taking Adam's neshama, the nefesh of the human being, and he places him into the Torah, puts him into Gan Eden. And Adam's, so that Adam should be able to connect to Hashem through the Torah, because that's our mean, as it says, Yisrael Miskashrin by Raisa, Yidden connected to the Torah, but Torah Bakutcha Berichu, and the Torah is connected to Hashem, and thereby man achieves ultimate union and ultimate vekus in the Eibishter through the Torah. We'll still speak about that later in today's class, hopefully. So he puts him into the Gan Eden. In the Gan Eden, there are two trees, there are many trees, but there is two primary trees. There is Eitz HaChayim, the tree of life, and the tree of the Eitz HaDaas, and the Hashem tells him to eat from the tree of life and not to eat from the Eitz HaDaas. So Rabbeinu Bechaya explains it that the tree of life is referring to the mitzvah saseh, all the positive commandments, and the Eitz HaDaas is referring to toivaraz, referring to the mitzvah lo saseh, all the prohibitions. Now, obviously, we're dealing still with an abstract world, so there's no physicality yet over here, because Adam is still a spirit without us, a bodiless spirit, a bodiless soul, a pure intelligence without any chaymer, without any corporal being. So obviously the Eitz HaDaas, the mitzvah saseh and the mitzvah lo saseh are not the physical incarnations of these things, but the spiritual dynamics of what these energies represent. This is good energy, and this is in the spiritual world, there's also an idea of klipa, forces of unholiness, forces of impurity. So Hashem is telling Adam Rishon, stick to Kedusha, and don't chas v'shalom take from the other side. Then Hashem says, "Loi toy ve'yoisa Adam levadoi." It is not good for the nefesh, for the soul, to be alone, because the soul needs a keli, it needs a vessel, in order for it to be able to express its powers, in order for it to be able to express its talents, its abilities. It needs a choymer, it needs something like a person who's an artist, who has this incredible ability, but in order to express it, you put it down on canvas. So here too, the godliness and the wisdom and the achievements of the human being need to be imprinted into a keli, something to be actualized through. And therefore, he says, "Esalei ezer kenegdai," I'm going to create from an ezer, is referring to the body. As in Chassidus, we learned many times that, for instance, Avram and Sarah, it says in Zohar HaKadosh, that Avram is the soul and Sarah is the body. So Adam and Chava is also that way. Adam is the nefesh and Chava is the body. And Hashem says, like this, they're going to be a perfect match. The soul and the body together will actualize the Eibishter's kavana and the purpose of creation. But then, Hashem created also the snake. The snake is the Yetzahara. Now, the Yetzahara doesn't have access to the soul. The soul is too abstract. The soul is too holy. And the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, is not able to connect to the neshama. The Yetzer Hara is able to draw and seduce the body, and that's why what happens over here is the Nachash strikes up a conversation with Chomer, with the body of a person, and it begins to try to pull the body away from the nefesh by doing what? Pulling the body towards the Eitz Hadas. And it knows that once it gets the body to sin, it can cause a contamination of the body, and eventually he's going to be able to access the soul as well and draw even the holy soul, which is a Chelek Elokim and Mal Mamish, to bring the neshama down also into the unholy, and thereby giving empowerment and giving strength to the forces of evil, and giving them much more koyach, much more power, which is the whole idea of why the klipa, why the Yetzer Hara is so into getting human beings to sin. So this is where he creeps up and he gets into a conversation with Chava, and he gets Chava to eat from the tree, which means the body gets persuaded into the pleasures of the body instead of it being included and bottled to the nefesh. And as a result of that, it affects the neshama as well, as Chava, the body, drags the soul down with her and drags the neshama into this, to become also not as bottled and not as unified with Hashem, but they become, to a certain degree, separated. Because even though we know the neshama remains always loyal to Hashem, but that's only the pnimius neshama, the inner nekudas ayahadas, the inner point of the neshama. The outer part of a person's being can become contaminated, can become schlepped into the unholy. Now Hashem comes to Adam Arishon, and Hashem says to Adam, and he says, Ayeka, where are you? And we all know the story of the Alter Rebbe, that the Alter Rebbe said when he met the, when the Tsar came to visit him, when the Alter Rebbe was in prison, I think it's the Tsar himself that came to him, or a high-ranking official, and that was the Tsar. And he dressed like a regular person. And he asked the Alter Rebbe, the Pirush of Adam, what does it mean when Hashem said to Adam, Ayaka, where are you? And the Alter Rebbe told him, that didn't Hashem know where he is? And the Alter Rebbe said to the Tsar, he said to him that he gave him Rashi's answer, that Hashem didn't want to scare him. So the Tsar said, Rashi's answer, I know, I want to know what you say. So the Alter Rebbe said to him, Hashem was saying to him, Ayaka, where are you in this world? And in that story is told, as we know, the Alter Rebbe said to him, Hashem turns to man and he says, you're 52 years old already. Where are you? What have you done with your life? And that was the age of the Tsar, meaning to say, what's going on with you? As he say in Yiddish, wuhaltz du avdevelt, what have you done? And interesting, I never realized that nekuda, that word, from as the Alter Rebbe says, is really rooted in Rabbeinu Bechaya. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, that's what the Eibishter says to Adam Arishon, Ayaka. He says to the nefesh, how are you doing in this? I put you into Gan Eden. I put you into the Torah. And I've given you the access to the Torah. To do what? To grow in your mitzvah observance and in your connection to me. Ayeka, where are you holding? And that's why he says, how are you doing in that project? How high, how far have you climbed? And he says to him, that's why the word Ayeka also has a hey, an extra hey at the end, because it really could have been without a hay, like the word hineka in Tehillim. Vatziya sh'oil hineka is without a hay, so he says the hay is extra. Because what Hashem is telling him, ayech, where are you in the hay, which are the five chamushei chumshei Torah, in the five chumashim, in this garden that I have given you to explore, how far have you gone in this garden? And and Adam Arishon shamefully, and in a very embarrassed way, says to Hashem, "Es koilcha shamati began, I've heard your voice in the Torah. I hear you speaking to me in the Torah." But that's what the intelligence, the neshama, is saying. I heard the opportunity you've given me, and I've heard you what you commanded me. But I went and I hid because I'm embarrassed. Ki eirom anoichi, because I am naked, anoichi from godliness, from holiness. It is the word anoichi. What does he use the word? Not ki eirom ani. That I am, he says, Anoichi, because I am naked from Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, which Anoichi represents the Torah, because the first word of Aseres Hadibros, I am naked from the Anoichi. I haven't done it, I got distracted. Adam says to Hashem, the soul says, I got distracted. But the soul right away puts the blame on the body. He says, it's not my fault. No, because Hashem says to Adam, and Hashem says to the Nefesh, he says, Mi Higidlach, who told you, what caused you that ki'era manoichu, that you should be naked. I've left you already a couple of hours in the garden. You had time already to explore, to grow, to draw closer to me. So what happened? What was the one? What is the thing that drawed you into this nakedness to be far and separated? So Adam Rishon goes and he plays the blame game and he puts it on Chava. He says, "Ishash and asati imadi. It's not me. I mean, I'm a pure heiliga neshama. It's that body that you've put with me that is dragging me down." So Hashem turns to Chava and he says, "What's going on? What have you done?" And the body, and as Rabbeinu Bahai explains it, Adam is saying, the body which you said was supposed to be a help and was supposed to help me actualize my accomplishments, to be a keli to the nefesh, instead the body became something that is pulling me away from you instead of being harnessed in the service of godliness. So Hashem now turns to the body, and Hashem says to the body, "What's with you?" And the body says, "It's not my fault. It's the nachash, which is the Yetzirah that you've put in connected to me, that has drawn me away from serving you." So now Hashem turns to the snake. And Hashem tells the snake, he curses him. And he says to the snake, "You're going to go on your belly." So what is the meaning of telling the snake, "On your belly you will go"? It means, instead of, this is your punishment. This that I have given you access to the human being, and you used to walk upright, the snake had feet, 2 feet, and he's the only creature that walked upright, which means, spiritually it means, the Yetzirah, that Hashem has made him into a king. A king walks with an upright posture. You are walking around the planet as a ruler, which means you have dominance over everyone, and everybody rules, and you rule over everyone. Everybody listens to you, which has sadly been the case of humanity since we got chased away from the garden, since that first day, fateful day in the garden until today. The Yetzirah has a powerful grip over all of the human beings. Hashem tells the snake, "I'm going to diminish you, and I'm going to throw you to the ground. Afar toichel, earth you're going to eat. Kol yemei chayecha." Instead of now, when you are a flesh-eating bacteria, and you get into the flesh of all human beings, corrupting their bodies, thereby drawing their energy into you, siphoning energy from kedusha. That's what klipa does, and getting strong by eating human flesh. Instead, I'm going to make you to eat the earth. And kol yemei chayecha, he says, so amazing, is all the days of tchias amesim. Chayecha means when people are really going to live. At that time, you're not going to have any, which means Hashem is going to remove the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is not going to have any dominion over human beings. Not only that, but ve'eiva ashes, and a hatred I am going to place, beincha o beina isha, between you and the body. The human body is going to be repulsed after Mashiach comes by Tchias HaMesim. The human body is going to be repulsed by even the thought of Chas V'Shalom doing anything that is related to Yetzer Hara, anything that is unholy. It's going to be disgusting. It's going to be despicable, as known the story with Rav Michalov Zlotchev, that one time he was a malamed. He was a malamed in a city. And one time, I don't know, the pirates over there, they got upset at him, the landowner, for something. And he said, "I'm going to teach him a lesson." In other words, I'm going to... So he decided to have a set him up. His wife was very beautiful. And he somehow managed, he called Rav Michalov Zlotchev to come to his his mansion. And he orchestrated the situation that his wife should be alone with him. And his wife, she was a very, very beautiful woman. And she dressed in a very, very unsneistic way. And she started trying to do something to seduce him. And as she came up to him, Rav Michalov turned around and he suddenly threw up all over her. Because not only wasn't in any way appealing to him, it was so disgusting that it caused him to vomit. So that's the way it's going to be after Mashiach comes. Any thought of Yetzirah is going to be so abhorrent, it's going to be so disgusting to a person. The Eva is going to be animosity between Yetzirah and the human being. Kol yemei chayecha, all the days of Tchias HaMesim. And then Hashem curses the body. He turns to Isha, to the woman, and he says, because you were distracted by the snake and you went to seek your own pleasure instead of being unified with the neshama and seeking your pleasure in godliness, the problem is you're a pleasure seeker. So I'm going to increase your pain and your suffering. Which means, is what Nebuch, the story of human beings, is that physical life is going to become massively difficult and hard, and there's going to be chas v'shalom, all kinds of illness, all kinds of suffering, physical pain. And the human race, human beings have to endure until the world is rectified. And all that pain, which Hashem curses the body, all the aches and pains, it's harbe arbe yitzvaynech, in order for you to, as a result of your seeking instead of the pleasure that you were seeking, it's going to be a painful experience for you. And then he continues how Hashem speaks to Adam, which I don't want to get into right now. But then this is the conclusion. Then it says that Hashem made for Adam and for Chava kosnas oir. Well, Hashem created for Adam and for the woman, he created for them bayasalikim lo Adam kosnas oir, a shirt, a leather garment, a shirt of leather, vayalbishem, and he dressed them. So Rabbeinu Bachaya says, what does that mean? That is the last and final story of Gan Eden, because that is alluding to Hashem recreating the human body. And he says like this, two pirushim, two ideas. Number one, Hashem created lo Adam ule ishtai, for man and for his wife. What does it mean for man and for his wife? Man, he says, is the intellect. And wife over here, he goes a little off on what he said till now, that the wife is the body. Here he says that the wife is the nefesh. So he calls the Adam the seichel, the intellect, and the body, and the wife is the nefesh, which is a keli to the seichel. So we're dealing now a step up. A woman representing also a keli, but the keli as being the nefesh and the human, and in Adam a higher level of soul. And Hashem created for them, Vayas, he says, is in the future. Not Yas can also be future. Hashem is going to create for the human being. Kosnas oir, a shirt of leather, is referring to the new refurbished bodies. The Mashiach bodies. The bodies that are going to be after Mashiach. In the world of Mashiach, Hashem is going to give us a new body. And those are Valyal Bishem, and he's going to dress the soul in this new body. And this body that's going to be after Mashiach comes, is going to be a new creation, that beautiful guf, a guf that is going to be uncorruptible. It's going to be a new metzias. And then he says, or another explanation to this, Vayas alekim la'adam la'ishtoi, for man and for his wife, going back to the pshat that we said earlier, that the wife is the guf, is the body, that when Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to enclose in Gan Eden the soul and the body, kosnas oir, a shirt, a leather shirt. Now the word oir is spelled with an ayin, but we know that in Rameir's Chumash, in Rameir's Sefer Torah, the word oir, which is ayin vav resh, was found to be written with an aleph. And a Sefer Torah wasn't possible, because an ayin and an aleph can be exchanged. If anybody writes a Sefer Torah today and exchanges the ayin with an aleph, it would be a puzzle of Sefer Torah. But with Rameir's Sefer Torah, Rameir didn't write an aleph. Rameir's Sefer Torah was written with an ayin, but it turned into an aleph, because oir means leather. Oir with an aleph means light. When a human being, when we refine the leather of our bodies, the physicality of the body, and we refine it through Torah and Mitzvahs, we polish it, like the time of Sfiras Ha'omer, Sfartem Lochem, you got to polish your Lochem, the part of you that's you, which is your body, that it should radiate the light of the Neshama. So what happened to Remeir, since Remeir means light, so Remeir was able to purify his body so much that it was Kosnas Oyer, there was a shirt of light, not a shirt of... So that's what he says the meaning over here is, that when Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to dress Adam and Chava, which are soul and body, a shirt of light, which is the garments that we're going to have in Gan Eden. And it says not, and he concludes with these words, something very beautiful. He says, it doesn't say that Hashem v'loy amar kosnas or lilboish, that Hashem gave him a leather shirt to wear. It says that Hashem gave them a shirt v'yal bishem, and Hashem dressed them. So it wasn't that here's your shirt and dress yourself. Hashem dressed them. This is alluding to that when Mashiach comes, Hashem himself is going to endure, is going to dress every single one of us, both body and soul, with a shirt of light, with such an incredible godliness that is going to envelop everybody. And he concludes these words, "Umimailoi samalbish," and from the quality of the dresser, of the one who is dressing us, you can get some idea, some understanding of how incredible the garment is going to be. The garment, which is this godly light that is going to envelop every single one in Mashiach, in the days of Tchias HaMeisim. So the story of Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden is really the human being's entire journey back to the garden. And as we're going to have our new bodies and our new garment of holiness that is going to surround us and be eternally separated from the snake. Now when Hashem speaks to Adam HaRishon, he tells him that from the tree of knowledge, Tov V'ra, till here is Rabbeinu Bachaya. Now another thought. When Hashem tells Adam HaRishon that you shouldn't eat from the tree of knowledge, he says to him that on the day that you will eat from the tree of knowledge, Mois Tamus, you're going to die. What is the double lashon? Mois Tamus, you're going to die. Twice. He should have said, you're going to die. What's this Mois Tamus? So over here, there's a fascinating idea. We know that Adam, the word Adam stands for Adam David Mashiach. Aleph Dalet Mem, Adam David Mashiach, because David HaMelech was a reincarnation from Adam. In a sense, he was the same neshama. As we even know physically, it says that when Hashem, when Adam HaRishon was laying on the ground, and he was like a piece of clay, Hashem put in front of him a vision. He saw all the generations coming before him, all the generations that are going to evolve from him. And he had a vision, and he saw a David HaMelech, but he saw that he came, he was born, and I think he was alive for 3 hours, and then he died. So Adam said, what's with, and he took a particular interest into that baby, because obviously it's David HaMelech. And he said, what's with this one? Hashem says he doesn't have any life. So Adam HaRishon gave him 70 years from his life, Adam gave to David HaMelech. And that's how David HaMelech is now had 70 years of life. And according to Chassidus, it explains what those 70 years are. It's the Hamshachah, I think, from Chachma to Malchus. It's seven, is the seven emotions that it's building. Malchus doesn't have anything of its own, which is David HaMelech Malchus. It receives it from the Sphiris, from Adam, as he's giving it to the David. But David HaMelech is an extension and is a reincarnation, so to speak, from David, from Adam HaRishon. And finally, the ultimate Adam is going to reveal himself in the last final incarnation, and that is going to be a Mashiach. The first two incarnations of the human being, of Adam, both passed away. Adam didn't live forever, and David also passed away. However, the third incarnation, which is going to be Mashiach, Mashiach is going to live forever. And that's what it means when Hashem says to Adam, as a result of the chait of the Eitz Hadas, Mois Tamus, you are going to die a double death. You're going to die two times. You're going to die in this incarnation. You're going to die again as David HaMelech, whose Yahrzeit is coming up on Shavuos. And eventually, in the third one, you're not going to die. The third time, you're going to last forever. And it adds another very interesting idea, that we know that David HaMelech died, but David HaMelech didn't die because of his own sin. Because Chazal say, whoever said David HaMelech sinned is making a mistake. David HaMelech died as a result of the Eitz Hadas, of the sins of Adam. And that's what he means. Because you ate from this, Mois Tamus, this is going to cause you to die two times. And the fact that Adam, that David HaMelech sinned, these are things that Hashem made happen to him because of the effects of Adam's sin. It wasn't really his own choice, because David HaMelech was already worthy to be the Mashiach. But for whatever reason, the world wasn't worthy yet. And then finally, Mashiach is going to last forever. This is from the Birkas Shmuel, who seems to be some kind of great Kabbalist, living in the days prior to the Baal Shem Tov in Tuf Mem Aleph, around the Baal Shem Tov's era. So he says this idea. Now, to conclude, when one of the main things, very, very strongly related to the creation of, to Mashiach's world, is the formation of Chava, the creation of Chava. See, we spoke about the making of Chava as being the body, and obviously, the story of the human being and of man is Dira B'Tachtayinim, Hashem wants the lower world, which is related to the creation of Chava. But on a little bit of a deeper scale and more, it says, again, when Hashem created Adam, he said, V'yomer Hashem Elokim, Hashem said, Lo Tov V'yosa Adam Levadoi, man isn't good to be alone, Esaloi Ezer Kenegdo, I'm going to create him an Ezer and a helpmate, which is Chava. So the creation of Chava is very deeply related to Mashiach. Particularly, Chava is formed as a separate, she separated from Adam, and they get married. The marriage of Adam and Chava, that's Mashiach. Chava being separated to become an entity onto its own is really the idea of the worlds being separated from godliness. Adam represents Hashem. Hashem is in the image of Adam. As we said earlier, Adam is the neshama. In the bigger picture, Adam is Hashem. Chava is the Shechina. Chava is the element of the creation as the creation becomes separated from Hashem. As we know, the Shechina is the idea of Shoichein betachtainim, Hashem dwelling in the lower worlds. The creation of Chava is the separating of godliness to create a world that is appears and seems to be disconnected from Him. But Mashiach, what's Mashiach? Mashiach is the reunification of the world with Hashem. Reunification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shechina. Of God, of Hashem, the masculine side of Hashem, and the Shechina and his wife as they join together to in unification. So, according to the Alter Rebbe in Torah Oyer, he explains this idea of Hashem saying, Loi toi ve'yoisa Adam, it's not good for man to be alone. What does that mean? And the idea is as follows. Adam, as we said earlier, is referring to Hashem, is referring to godly projection, godly light that is channeled without any obstruction. Elokus flowing without any blockages, like it is in the world of Atzilus. The world of Atzilus and the world of purely divine, there is no yeshus, there is no being. It's clear that there is Einoid Malvadu, there's nothing but Hashem. Even though there are all kinds of colors and all kinds of ideas and all kinds of entities, because Atzilus is the Eser Sefirot, the 10 attributes. And the attributes we know form all kinds of billions and gazillions of combinations as the attributes form together to create all different types of energies. But yet everything is in a state of absolute bittul and unification with Hashem. It's the colors of Hashem, nothing else. That's the world of Atzilus. Then comes the Sfiras HaMalchus, the attribute of Malchus. And what does Malchus do? Malchus blocks the emes of Einoid Movadoi. And Malchus is the idea that Hashem wants to be a melech. Hashem wants to be a king. To be a king, you need to have an am. You need to have an entity that's not you. You need to have somebody, people that are not, that are your subjects, that are not you, that are separated from you. And there is a pleasure and enjoyment when these beings that feel separated and disconnected acknowledge and recognize their master and their source from their own volition, from their own will, and they come to serve him, that is the enjoyment of a melech. So the idea of Malchus is to create already a dimming, a hiding, a concealment on godliness, and that evolves into what we call the three lower worlds, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya. Ultimately, the desire is to come to the world of Asiya, because Bria and Yetzirah is still a state where the creations are still strongly feeling their source, even though they do have independent consciousness, they still have a state, they're still not Elokus, it's not divine. The creations of Yetzirah, Bria and Yetzirah are also very spiritual oriented and very, but they still have a Metzias, an existence. Yet Olam Asiya is when we reach total disconnect. And that's where the Eibishter's desire to be a Melech can be realized. So Hashem says, Loi toi ve'yois Adam levadoi. To have a state of total unification where godliness is fully expressed and fully revealed, Milah Chatchila, from the beginning, is not good. It's not good because this does not express the ultimate truth of God's unity, of God's truth, of Hashem's oneness. As Eloi, I'm going to create for the human being, Ezer, an assistance, Kenegdoi, by something that is going to challenge. Kenegdoi means opposite. I'm going to create something and some entity that is going to challenge God's oneness. And that is when the Eibishter begins to create a world of multiplicity, a world that the worlds that evolve, in which they seems to block and conceal the idea of Hashem Achad, that Hashem is one, where a trillion gazillion little egos grow up, emerge, and everybody claims that I'm a metzias and I'm an entity, and that's the story of the creation. But the Eibishter says that's l'chayre kenegdoi, that's against God's unity. The Shechina, Sfiras HaMalchus, which serves as a block, as a filter, blocking Hashem's light in the world. But what's the purpose of it? Ezer, that's going to be a help. Why is that going to be a help? Because once, as a result of the darkness, the concealments, the blockages, and the human being within the world struggling with his own ego, struggling with his Nefesh HaBahamas, struggling with all the things that seem to contradict Hashem Achad, God's unity, and when the human being, as we spoke earlier, when we work with our ayin, with our oyer, kasnas oyer, our shirt of leather, and we work on it to purify it and to recognize Hashem within the darkness, and we make from the ayin an aleph, kasnas oyer, a shirt of light, then the unity of Hashem's truth, Hashem's oneness, is demonstrated and expressed in a way so much deeper from when there is just l'chatchila, just Hashem's oneness. Because what really is happening is Hashem is challenging, really in creation, Hashem is challenging Himself. Hashem says, I know I am, right? But I'm going to create something that is going to block and conceal the MS of who I am. And it's going to sort of enable that there should be a possibility that something else to exist that's not me. But in the end, that entity is going to struggle with its own identity. It's going to work within itself until it's going to come to the realization that it too is nothing other than Hashem. And that's the struggle of the world until Mashiach comes to discover its true identity, that Hashem is Echad, Hashem is the Aleph and the Chesed and the Dalet in all of existence. Einod Mavadei, there's only the Eibishter. But once we will reveal it in the post-dark world, then Hashem's oneness is going to be so much deeper than what it was before. And that's what the Alter Rebbe says it means. Eisaloi Ezer Kenegdoi. Kenegdoi, he says, the help is like looking in a mirror. When a person looks in a mirror, what's a mirror? A mirror is a glass. But an ordinary glass, you can look through the glass. A mirror, there is a little bit taint of silver on the mirror. And what does it do? It blocks the light from passing. So that's what Malchus is. Malchus is Hashem puts a glass. And he puts something that blocks the light. He makes a thin sliver of silver that blocks the light of godliness from continuing into the creation. And we create a blockage. It becomes a world where there is a non-godly state. And that's the world, that's the physical, that's the body as we spoke earlier, that's the world of the woman, the world that seems to be not, initially, not one with the Eibishter. Then what happens? But then what happens? What's the point of a mirror? When you have a mirror, a person can look. On the one end, you can't see through it, but you can see yourself. Not only can you see yourself, you can see what's behind you, which means you can look deeper into yourself through the mirror. You can look deep into yourself. Hashem gets to look deep into Himself by creating us creations that seem to block ungodliness, but we reveal a truth about Him that He Himself, in a sense, was not revealed until the world works through its issues, until we come to the days of Mashiach. And that's the idea of Esaloi Ezer, I will create an Ezer Kenegdoi, to be opposite of Him. Eventually, after we finish this Avodah and this work, then Adam and Chava come together again, and they become again one flesh, one entity, because in the very space of our world where there was yeshus, where there was a lack of oneness, where there was a world of falseness and disconnect, it joins together and it becomes the world of emes. And the deeper emes that's going to be when Mashiach comes, total fusion of heaven and earth, total fusion of the Eibishter and the world, and that's the ultimate desire of the Eibishter. So I'm going to conclude with one fascinating idea in regards to this concept. When Hashem separated the Shekhinah, that's the idea. This is the idea that we're talking about before, that Hashem takes that's why Chava, which is the world of the Shekhinah, which is the soul of creation. Hashem takes Chava, she's a part of Adam, because the essence of creation is also Adam Arishon, it's all Hashem. Hashem takes Chava, does a surgery, removes Chava, separates Chava from Adam, which means she becomes an entity unto herself. And then what does Hashem tell them? They should come together again, and when husband and wife get married, they become again one flesh, which means that the Tachtonim, the world that is disconnected, gets unified again with its source. That the world of the Shekhinah, the world of darkness, becomes unified back with the world. And then the Emes and the Achdus Hashem that is in Atzilus, that is from Hashem's perspective, that there's nothing but Him, is experienced in Chava's world as well. And therefore hear this amazing thing. When we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we know, we say two psukim. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is what we call in the Alter Rebbe, in Chassidus we learn, is called Yechud Yilah, the higher unity. And then Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Aliyolam Vaed is called the lower unity, Yehuda Tata. And Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, Yehuda Yilah means to perceive God's unity as Hashem sees it. Einoid Mulvadeh, there's nothing but Him. The MS of Hashem as it in the masculine world, in God's world, in the Eibishter's world of Emes, the world of Atzilus, there's nothing but the Eibishter. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Elo Elam Vayed is a world of Malchus. What's Malchus? There is already an Eibishter and there is a world. There is something other than Hashem, and we recognize Hashem as being our Melech, and we're bottled to Him. And that's why Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Elo Elam Vayed is really just a translation of Shema Yisrael. It's really, they're both called, according to the Zayar, they're both called Yichud. They're both called unity. There's a higher unity and a lower unity. What's the difference? The higher unity is where the unity of God, the higher unity is where the unity of Hashem is expressed to its fullest, in its full might and its full strength, as it really is. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Le'olam Vayed is translating that unity of Echad. The question is, why does Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Le'olam Vayed even, what does it have to do with Shema Yisrael? How is that a unity? There's no word of unity. So the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, based on the Zohar, that the word Vaed is the same words as Echad. Aleph, Ches, Dalid. Vaed is the same as Echad. Because the Vav is exchanged with an Aleph, because they're both vowels, Aleph and Vav. The Ches is exchanged with an ayin, because they're both coming from the gutter, from the throat, guttural letters. The dalid is exchanged from echad. The dalid for va'ed is also exchanged, because the dalid in the word echad is a large dalid, and the dalid in the word va'ed is a regular sized dalid. So the large dalid is changed with a little dalid. But what is the meaning over here? The meaning is that Achdus Hashem, as we see it today, is not as, it's not stated so loudly. It's not as so clear. Echad means you see the unity of God. Vayed means it is echad, but it's echad in an exchange. Exchanged letters. It means the achdus is not so sharp. It's not so seen like we see in our world. It takes emunah to believe. It takes bitachin to believe that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that the Eibishter is the only reality. We can't see it with that sharpness. So the world of the masculine world is echad. The feminine world is va'ed. They're not aligned. What does it say when Mashiach is going to come? When Mashiach is going to come, what does it say? Bayoimahu, on that day, as a result of the human being doing all his avodah, when we conclude our work, what's going to happen? Bayoimahu, on that day, Yia Hashem Echad Ushmoy Echad. That Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Le'olam Vayed is also going to be, from Vayed is going to become Echad. Because in the world of the feminine, the tzela, the rib that was separated from Adam, is going to be joined again, back together again, into the oneness, into the pure godliness. So Vayed and Echad, the world of Vayed, is going to be back Echad again. But we said, it's not just going to come back to oneness, it's going to come back to a deeper oneness than what was before. So I'm just going to conclude with this last thought. The B'nai Yisachar says this idea, and he says, when Hashem took the tzela and he built the woman, it says in the pasuk, Vayiven Hashem es tzela, that Hashem built the tzela. The word Vayiven, the Medrash says, comes from the word Bina. And he says, Bina Yisera Nitna Be'isha, the Gemara says, the woman has extra Bina. What is the meaning that the woman has extra Bina? This is the added depth that comes to the understanding that comes dafka from Yehuda Tata. Dafka because the world has been separated, disconnected, and there's a cover on Hashem's God truth. And as the world struggles its way back into oneness, the oneness is greater than before. Now let's think, here's this just blew my mind when I saw this. Echad is Gematria 13. Va'ed, which is Echad, just in a different language, and softer spoken, Va'ed is Gematria 80. Okay, Vav, Ayin, Dalet is 80. What's the difference? 80 minus 13, what's the difference between Echad and Vaed? 80 minus 13 is 67. Gematria Bina. Bina is the exact gematria of 57. Bina Yisera Nitna Be'isha. The woman, which is the idea of Yehuda Tata, the lower Yichud, a world that is separated from godliness. That is Bina Yisera. She has more, the Vayed has more than the Yehudi Allah, more than the Echad. How much? Bina. She has the Bina element, which is 67, more than Echad, because when Mashiach comes, we're going to have the gained knowledge of struggling through the darkness until we come back to an echad, and it's going to be Bayoima Hu Yi Hashem Echad, Ushma Echad, Yehudi Allah and Yehudi Tata together. The woman is going to be totally joined again with her husband in total oneness. But until Mashiach comes, the woman acts as a mirror. I was just thinking the other day, that's why women look more in the mirror than men, at least it's supposed to be that way, because the world of the mirror is the world of the woman. It's the world that's supposed to cause it's enabling the Eibishter to look into the mirror and see deeper into himself than what he saw before, so to speak. And that's the Achdus Hashem that comes as a result of all of this. May we merit very, very soon to experience the ultimate Bayoyim Ahu Yashem Achad Ushmo Yachad. May it happen right now, and in the merit of all of us learning together in Yonei Geula Mashiach. Please tell your friends to join this class, and let's get more and more people until Umola Aretz Deyas Hashem, the world is going to be swamped with godly knowledge. We need to do it. The Rebbe wants us to do it, so please spread this as far as you can. Write about it, put it out there, let people know, and let's make this class bigger and bigger, and let's... this will make Mashiach happen now. Everyone have a wonderful, good day.